Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Great night for baseball in the Buckeye State. Both the Guardians and Reds won on the road. Cleveland won at Detroit 3-2 in 10 innings. Jose Ramirez had a 2-run double in the 10th for the Guardians' 5th straight win. Cleveland looks to break out the brooms in Detroit today at 1-10. The Reds beat the Phillies 9-4 in Philadelphia. Sal Stewart had 4 hits in the win, including a 2-run shot in the 9th. It's Cincinnati's 2nd straight win. Red Legs are off Thursday, home Friday, hosting the Cardinals. In the minors, the Clippers beat the Louisville Bats twice on Wednesday. Columbus and Louisville are back at Huntington Park today at 12:05. The baseball Buckeyes stayed alive in the Big Ten tournament, beating Rutgers 3-2 last night in Omaha. Ohio State will play Michigan tonight at 7. And in the NBA, the Thunder beat the Spurs 122-113 in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. This update is sponsored by Germain Toyota for unbeatable service and sales. Visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then, he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Mr. Feinbaum going to drop by at 10:30. My guess is he'll have a lot to say about what is transpiring out in Southern California with the Big Ten meetings. He will join us then. 10 o'clock, your emails, and oh, baby, were there a ton of them. We'll get through as many as we can coming up at 10 o'clock. You guys ever see, there was a video that I used to watch with NBC when he was little. He's 14 now, but this is when he was like 4 or 5. It was called Bighorn Bash. And it was a YouTube video that showed a male bighorn ram and how he was constantly being tried by the others who wanted a piece of that herd, so to speak. The other rams, the younger guys. And basically what it was it's about a 4 or 5 minute video that culminates with a massive, like, bighorn ram fight where they just slam it against each other. And probably one of the more violent things you'll ever see in nature. If you ever get a chance to see one, you hear it before you see it. If you ever are in the chance to see it, it's a stunning thing to watch. And this video is pretty cool. Does a very good job up. My guess, if you went into YouTube and you plugged it in, it would pop up. But the moral of the story is this big ram is being constantly tried by these little rams, younger rams. As a father of 3 boys, I am currently that ram. I've been that ram probably since NBC was 9 or 10. Really, that's when it starts. If you have young boys, they're going to start trying you at about 9 or 10 in any number of activities. So the first thing that they will do, and the other thing you have to remember is, when you're the big ram, you're Ohio State, right? You're Ohio State football. You have everything to lose. You have everything to lose. These guys have nothing to lose. My kids will say to me, "Hey, Dad, can we verse you? Can we verse you?" Like, that's what they say. Can we verse you? Dad, can we verse? I'll verse you in basketball. I'll verse you in chess. They'll try you at anything. They'll try you at anything. Golf, anything. Can I verse you, Dad? Will you verse us? Okay, yeah. So you get tired as the ram. You get tired. But you have to fend off these constant pursuits of your power. You have to. These are threats. These are young rams who are coming for you on the reg. And they're trying to assert their dominance in any way they can. From the time he was 10, NBC wants to verse me in anything. Anything. Chess, basketball, golf, Mario Kart, 2K, college football, FIFA, anything. If I'm involved, they're more interested. Bootsy's there now. He's 10. Dad, you want a verse? I'll verse you. In anything. It doesn't matter. In anything you want, they'll do it. And for the most part, the old Ram, i.e. the Buckeyes, gets through it. And you continue to win. And to this point, in terms of documented losses for the big Ram, NBC got me in golf once. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. But they're getting smarter. They're getting smarter. So we have a ping pong table that has largely been unused since purchase for Christmas, probably 3 years ago. This has sat in storage in our basement for the better part of the last 2 years. So we're doing some renovations in the basement, and there's currently no furniture down there. And so they brought the ping pong table out, and I can hear him going. And Beamsy is really pressing to play me. Dad, will you verse me? Will you verse me in ping pong? Ping pong tournament, Dad. Ping pong tournament. Ping pong. Okay, fine. Fine, I'll play in ping pong. I'm not any sort of professional ping pong player. I'm fine. I don't know. Like, I know that Timmy's good. Who's good? Timmy, Mike, which one's better? Who's the best ping pong player in our operation? Like, we had a ping pong tournament in the office. Who wins?
I know Timmy beat Ryan Day.
Okay, so Timmy's the best because Ryan plays a lot of tennis.
Maybe.
Ooh, bake.
What about AR?
Oh.
Oh, God, AR. Yeah. I think AR dated Chrissy Everett at one time, so I'm going to go with AR. AR's the winner. Okay, yeah. A locked-in AR.
We get this confirmed, by the
way. Yeah, AR versus Timmy. Whichever one of them win, I'm not at that level. I'm two levels below that. Like, I'm fine. I'm fine at ping pong. But these kids are nothing. So, all right, Beams, fine. Let's go. Let's play. You want to play? Let's play. Fine. Okay, so we're playing. I got a quick lead. He starts coming. All of a sudden, it's 19-19. Going to 21, win by two. I miss the serve. Okay. So he ends up winning. He beats me, 21-19. Okay. All right. You want to play ping pong? Let's play ping pong. I'm screwing around. Let's play a real game, little Marty Supreme. Let's you and I have a little game of ping pong now. All right, pal? And he's kind of bouncing. Bouncing around like he's got some sort of answers to the test. So, okay, fine. Let's go. Let's pong. Let's go. Let's get this done. So away we go. 21-11. He houses me.
Oh, no.
Okay, what? Come to find out, he has spent the last 8 weeks doing racket sports in gym. Unbeknownst to me. Ping pong, badminton, pickleball. This was a setup. This was a complete setup. He knew he was going to beat me. He's been preparing for this for months. He has the audacity then, as I'm playing a loser out game against his older brother, to start trying to give me tips. You got to hit that one the way you hit this one, Dad. Why can't you? Okay. All right. This is fine. Fine. His pride in kicking my ass at ping pong, you'd have thought he just signed his name on the Declaration of Independence. Proudest moment. First of many, I'm sure. Do you remember the first time you beat your dads at anything?
Not off the top of my head. But, I mean, I just can't remember us doing... I wasn't very athletic. I was a fat kid. So the heights of my athleticism weren't really realized until later in life.
No games?
No.
Did you verse him in chess? Checkers?
I always got my ass kicked in chess. Could always do video games, but he was never a video game player.
I got you. Yeah. Well, that's that generation. They're able to skip it. Bake, right. You remember the first time you beat Papa Bake?
I don't remember.
Have you ever beat Papa Bake?
I'm sure it was golf was the first thing that I ever got him. Because I don't know. We played a lot of basketball, But I don't know. I don't remember us playing like each other after like a certain age. Like, I don't know. Like, I was playing with my friends, or I would go to the open gyms when dad would play and try to get in on their games and whatnot. So
God, that was great, wasn't it?
Oh, that was the best.
When you're like a high school kid
when
going to 14, like an adult open gym,
trying to play all the dad's awesome. Friends.
I remember when I finally got good enough that I could play in like the Thursday night men's community basketball game where I grew up. I was probably a freshman or sophomore, and they're like, yeah, you're good enough to play. And it was awesome. I just couldn't wait. It was so exciting. But yeah, he was a ringer. Kid's a ringer. That's what he did. Okay. I haven't spent the last 8 weeks playing ping pong like you have, Punk.
But now.
Well.
Sounds like you got to get down there.
I guess I got to be down there hitting it against a wall is the way it's going to go. I can't stand for this. That's it. It's relentless. It really is. And it's awesome, too. But at the same time, like, it is, you are just fending off challenges left and right constantly. I got to do like my dad and just find something that my kids aren't interested in so that I can stay dominant in it. Like, he's always going to be able to outrope me. I wasn't practicing that. We had a full night on the ice and the diamond. We have the Cavaliers back at it tonight. As I mentioned, a full mailbag and quite diverse mailbag. We'll get to all of that. Mr. Feinbaum coming up at 10:30. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, what's up?
Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
In the old days when people lived to be 40. You only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect cloudy skies to turn into sunshine throughout the day today. Temperatures will warm into the upper 60s to low 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 50s. And for Friday, showers will be likely with even a few thunderstorms possible as we go throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and breezy with highs in the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. 10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying. It's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
This from Wolfman Mad on social. I don't know what would make me more mad, the fact that my kid housed me or the fact that he hustled me and it was a work. Because now he doesn't respect my body or my mind. I'm kind of like Ron Burgundy with the wheel of cheese with Baxter when it comes to the work. I'm actually proud of the work. I'm actually proud that he understood that he was that conniving, that calculated, that he took
That took some
weeks.
Time to plan
yeah,
and execute pretty perfectly.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Dufresne getting out of Shawshank, isn't it? Like, it's years in the making. I mean, this was days, months in the making for him. So I kind of respect that part of it. The other thing is I'm a lot older at their current age than my dad was when I was there. We had kids later. So I'm older. So, like, I'm smart enough. I know, like, if we do, it's always me and Bootsy versus, and Boots and I were talking about it. We're going to have some strategy for the hoop series this summer. Like, that's, we took them. We dominated them last year. Dominated them. It was sad, honestly, how bad we whipped them. But it's going to be, I mean, NBC's now taller than me.
You're not the tallest guy on the court anymore.
No, it's going to be all old man game. I mean, it's just going to be a lot of cheating, which brings us to Western Conference Final Game 2, where apparently the Oklahoma City Thunder, it's legal to just grab Victor Wembanyama and hold him. That's what I noticed last night, whether it was Hartenstein or Chet Holmgren, they just grab him. Like, he just floats in the middle and they physically grab him. I don't even know who's coaching San Antonio. I can tell you the name of the guy who's coaching Oklahoma City, but I'll tell you this. If I was a guy coaching San Antonio, I'd get on the horn with Greg Popovich, who'd get on the horn with the league and say, I want that to be a foul every single time. There was a stretch in the second quarter where it was every time down. They just grab him. It's crazy. I couldn't understand why it wasn't called.
I don't love the A. I forget the guy's name who voiced the NBA finals on NBC in the 90s, but they used like an AI rendition of his voice. and they do the round ball rock, and it's all very retro. And last night felt like a game in the 90s. They're just beating the hell out of the other team's superstar in an attempt to not get him to have another double-double performance.
So it's crazy. I will say I am all for a letting him play style game.
Yeah.
But I want that all the time. Like, I do not think the playoffs should be called and officiated differently than a regular season game. And I noticed this last night watching a little bit of the hockey game. There was a play, I can't remember if it was Jack Eichel or Mitch Marner, but they're coming down the left wing, and the Colorado Avalanche defenseman literally puts his arm out and like chicken wings him like you would in basketball in the post, chicken wings him and holds him up from continuing with the puck. That's a penalty.
That's like, a penalty every time. That's a penalty every time. Yeah, consistently. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm Michelle Beadle watching every San Antonio Spurs game. I'm not. I don't watch them all the time. I've watched them a handful of times. Not even a handful of times. Probably haven't watched a whole game all year. But I watched the first two games of this series because to me it feels like the NBA Finals, and the compete level is off the charts in this series. It's nuts how much they're competing every single minute that they're out there. But this was the first time that I've seen like this approach with Wembanyama, where they just grab him. It's not even, they're not hiding it. They physically just get him in arm bars. At one point, Hartenstein just grabbed, like, had his two arms, like, around his arm to keep him from providing help side defense, and they didn't call it. And it's all over the footage. And I didn't even feel like the play-by-play folks talked about it.
I was just about to say NBC Sports was, it was Tirico, Reggie Miller, I forget who the other guy was, but it was.
Did you see that since that, too? They didn't really
talk
about
it. They didn't mention it at all.
Like
they were even on? They were giving a lot of credit to Hartenstein later in the game for his how he played defensively on Wembanyama. It's like, well, that's a way to phrase it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wemby, welcome to the Jordan Rules and Hack-a-Shack. I guess take it as a compliment.
I guess. I think that, you know, in both Jordan Rules was a little, that was basically what
they put hits on him.
They did. It was basically like what AAU basketball can be now, where it was just up in defense, like way up in, handsy all the time. It was kind of like what the Seattle Seahawks used to do with Legion of Boom.
Make you call it.
I'm going to pass interfere on every single and hold on every single play. You're not calling all of them. So if you call a handful of them, fine. And that was the Pistons' approach to Michael Jordan. And they would just run one guy after another at him, whether Joe Dumars, Dennis Rodman. They'd even put Isaiah Thomas. They'd have him get way up in him, and they would just get ultra-physical. And then anything to the rim, they just knocked him on the ground. Like, that was the approach to it. And it worked for a little while, for one series, and then that was the end of it, and Mike elevated, and the rest was history. Did you guys note that when as a quick diversion here, yesterday when we had Scooney on, we were talking about this. He mentioned Isaiah Thomas was his favorite player.
Yeah, I did.
There were and by the way, of course he would be. They play very similar.
There's so many parallels.
So many, yeah. There were kids when I was a kid, again, middle of nowhere, pick who's good, who were Pistons fans because they were the bad boy Pistons and they won back-to-back titles when I was a kid. And so people jumped on that bandwagon. I think Isaiah Thomas might be the most forgotten, not talked about great player of my life. Because there were moments when they made those runs, and even they lost a 7-game series to the Lakers when the Lakers were trying to win back to back in the mid, like 87, 88. He's the best player on the court. Not particularly close. He had that fallout with Jordan that is famous, kept him off the dream team, which was criminal. Honestly, at that point, to keep him off the dream team in 1992. But people do not talk about him much. And mostly, you know, 10, 15 years ago, people mostly knew him for his incompetence at running the New York Knicks and all the scandal that happened there. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, that's where he's most known, not for the player he was.
Yeah, that's definitely his legacy now. And it's interesting. I was over the weekend, there was a ton of Detroit stuff at Sonic Temple. Somebody had on the old Horse on Fire Pistons logo.
Oh.
And he walked, and I had my, it was Friday night, and I walked by and I had my Cavs sweatshirt on, and, you know, you'd already kind of digested what happened. I think it was game 6. He goes, "Go Pistons." And I'm like, "Man, I really hate you because you're a Pistons fan." I'm like, "But that logo might be the nicest thing I've seen at least all day." It's gorgeous, but yeah, his the ineptitude that he ran the New York Knicks and kind of how he nothing was his fault. I think that became his legacy, and it's a shame because of how good of an actual basketball player he was.
He's a stunning basketball player.
You like the horsehead Pistons jersey?
I love the horse on fire Pistons logo. Yes.
I took note of that too, Bake. I couldn't hate it anymore. I think it's completely generational. You and I, generation older, we identify the Pistons as the red, white, and blues. Yeah. Reese, generation younger, he does. It's nostalgia. It's Don Draper. That whole era, like the Raptor with the giant T, you know,
the Duncan Raptor.
Now that I like, I don't mind that.
So I couldn't stand that either. There was a Hawks one that had a giant hawk on the front. There was a Rocket one that was like navy blue that had a rocket.
Yeah,
on
that
it.
Was those were the yeah, Stevie franchises.
The color of the jersey was like teal, and I'm like, those are Detroit Pistons colors.
No, and they had, the horse had like it had an exhaust pipe at some point coming out of it. Didn't it?
I always associate those Pistons jerseys with Grant Hill, and I feel like that's not fair because Grant Hill was a better player than those jerseys, quite frankly. So that's not fair to him. I wonder on the Isaiah thing, Bo.
Yeah.
If it's because when we talk about those Piston teams, we call them the bad boys, and we talk about the bad boys. And like Magic was, Showtime Lakers, but Magic was the man at the ahead of all that.
Yeah.
Larry Bird, you always talk about Bird when you talk about the Celtics. Obviously, you talk about Jordan with the Bulls. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the Jazz, it's Stockton and Malone. It's both of them, so one of them doesn't get lost. When we talk about the Pistons, it's just the bad boys.
You might be right. That might be it, and that would be a disservice to what Isaiah Thomas was.
1,000%.
It really would be, because he was a stunning playmaker. Really was. And he's a stud. He was a total stud. So when Scootie mentioned that the other day, I thought, God, I haven't thought of Isaiah Thomas in a very long time. Which of these did you guys end up watching the most of last night?
Western Conference Finals, Game 2.
Western Finals, yeah.
Well, I guess they're both Western Conference Finals, but the Victor Wembanyama show.
Mine was the hockey. That's what I fell asleep to.
How about Torts inching closer to another cup?
He's going to coach the Vegas Golden Knights in a Stanley Cup final.
Yes.
Nobody is.
Paratroops in on the Vegas Golden Knights.
Nobody's going to be more excited than Rothman if that happens. Nobody.
Yeah.
I will say this with that last night. Colorado was out without Cale Makar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously a huge, huge piece for their team. Now, Carter Hart was brilliant. He stood on his head for most of that game. It's different if you get a healthy Cale Makar back, though.
What's the status on him?
He's just day-to-day. It sounds like he got dinged up in that Game 5 that they beat Minnesota in. And I've heard rumors that it's a shoulder thing with him, but...
Yeah, he's the best defenseman in the game. So without him is a pretty big hit for them, obviously. But Vegas takes game one of that series 1-0. So you'll get the Eastern Conference returns tonight. Both game one, right, tonight? Don't you have the Canes and the Habs tonight as well?
That is correct.
Yeah, so you're going to have hockey and hoops every night from here on out. The Blonde and Bootsy took in Bruno Mars last night. They were able to navigate through it. Ponchos were on a little bit wet. Sounded like they crushed it, though. Sounded like Bruno put on a hell of a show. Sold out 80-some thousand folks at the Shoe. It's pretty cool that you're starting to get those in there. Not the one thing I remember, I was talking to my wife yesterday about this. I'm like, why would they put this thing at the Shoe in May?
NIL, baby.
I know why Ohio State would, but like, this is not the time of year where you can gamble with weather in Ohio.
Because why not?
I guess they were all there. It sounds like it was fine. They were ponchoed up and put on a heck of a show.
I could hear it from my house. It sounded good.
Yeah. Yeah. And, thank you to the police officer that let, my wife and Bootsy make a left on Lane Avenue about 20 minutes before Bruno Mars took the stage, because without it, I don't know. Not sure exactly how much we see, but he did. She pleaded and thank you for your hospitality on that one. Coming up in 2 minutes, Tony Patini lays out his plan. Is anybody buying it? We'll get to it in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a Thursday. Big Ten meetings wrapping up out in Southern California at the Terranea Resort. Tony Petitti has come out of his hole and has decided to talk to a lot of people, especially the folks who are there. Pete Thamel's out there. Scott Docterman's out there, among others, having a conversation about how Tony Petitti and the Big Ten see the future. I'll say this. He's got his folks in lockstep. All of his coaches are speaking in his language. Here's the crux of this. The Southeastern Conference and ESPN want a 16-team playoff at most is what they want. ESPN is the current contract of the playoff through 2032, and they see no reason to do that. ESPN's view of this, and the SEC's by proxy, is as follows. Scarcity creates demand, right? Fewer teams, higher demand. That's their entire play on this thing. And then the other factor in this is they really don't want to reopen this. They've got the monopoly, and they've got it through 2032. So as long as they stay at 12, they're in a pretty good stance. And theoretically, even at 16, they would be in a pretty good stance, in a pretty good position, rather, going forward in terms of what this is all going to look like. The Big Ten, as we've talked about ad nauseum, wants 24. Tony Petitti saying this week that the Big Ten will take a hard no stance on 16 for 27 and beyond. So if you want more teams to have more opportunity, why would you say no to 16? That's four more teams, undoubtedly. One or potentially two of those teams would be Big Ten teams. That's better than 12, is it not? So why would he not have an interest in that? Here's Tony Petitti. We've had zero conversation about 16. Plan B is what we have now. We would stay with what we have now. Why? Why not? He continues with all of the pushback at 24, which is very real from fans and really everybody other than folks who are presidents, athletic directors, and coaches in the Big Ten. Hell, even Ryan said this week, I'm not sure if 24 is good or bad for us. It's indifferent to Ohio State. Petitti said, quote, when I was at Major League Baseball, we never had to convince anybody that keeping more teams in the race is better for everybody and the fans. Like, we never had to do that. When you go to 24, you unlock a lot of really good ideas and a lot of really good opportunities. He continues to say that there's only two ways a 16-team playoff works. All 16 teams play the first round with no byes. Well, yeah, that's what I've been saying. And that decreases motivation to play in a conference championship game without earning a bye. Now, this is the real truth. I just don't think it works economically. I don't think it works scheduling-wise as well. I think it doesn't create enough new inventory. And then the last piece, I don't think it gets enough access. He gave you the real truth right there. It doesn't create enough inventory. If they go to a 16-team playoff, they're going to have to get rid of their conference championship games, and everybody plays the first round for the Big Ten does not make up for the loss of the Big Ten revenue from the Big Ten championship game. That's it. That's the list. It's not more complicated than that.
Yeah, it doesn't create enough new inventory for us. And he's in the business of creating more inventory, more content, making more money for the conference. And pushing this 24-teamer through makes more money. 16 does nothing. What ESPN wants does nothing. But when you can push it past ESPN, because right now ESPN's the only one at the table. But if you provide more might push ESPN to say, all right, maybe we can't get the entire college football playoff. Then you're able to maybe bid it out and maybe able to cut up the college football playoff pie. So then Fox can come on in and CBS can come on in. And then they're bidding over each other or around each other or across each other. And then you're just providing more money, but you're also getting more teams in. Because Brett Bielema, personally, I would love to see as many teams included as humanly possible. It can't go to 64. I'm not talking about that. I think somebody floated 32 last year or something.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, Bert. He's doing the job, though.
You know that's coming, too. They're not going to stop.
No, yeah, they're not, Bake. They're not. And it's all because they're bad accountants. And they're bad at business. And they're over-leveraged. These athletic departments are over-leveraged, and they're trying to find money in every way that they can. And that's what this is. And the rest of, well, look, it's not going to change the way we go about our business around here. It's not really going to change the way you go about your business as a Buckeye fan. It's not going to really affect you too much, honestly. Like, You'll just play. You're going to end up playing more games, I suppose, is what it'll be. But that's a win for all of you. It's a win for us. It's more content for us. Now, no one will ever be able to take vacation in December again. But beyond that, it's kind of a win.
What's
for
Christmas?
Us. Yeah, who needs it? Who needs the holidays? But yeah, that's kind of the way that this is going. But they are now to the point where they're just saying the quiet part out loud. I mean, that is an absolute quote. I think it doesn't create enough new inventory. This is about trying to find money any way that they can. And what they're going to do is hold the 24 team versus the 12 and say, we're not doing the 16 as leverage against the SEC. I'd rather just stay at 12 then. I don't have interest in this 24 thing. Nothing has changed for me in the last couple of weeks to lead me to want to get on board with this.
They don't care what you think.
No, I know they don't. I know they don't.
And it
they don't
sucks.
Care. No, they don't care what you think. They don't care what I think. That's why we're in this crazy position of like being on the side of Sankey and ESPN. Because at least it keeps it relatively exclusive. I don't have any interest in some of this. Go ahead, Vic.
I was going to say, that sucks too. Because they're not doing it for the betterment of the game. They're doing it because they want to keep all the pieces of the pie to themselves.
They're doing it because they're bad at business. That's why they're doing it. Because they don't want to make cuts. None of them want to make less money. They haven't figured out a way to pay the players and make it actually work. They're still trying to live in this hybrid world of we're half professional sports and then the other half is not. And they're trying to just survive. None of this is a real solution. It's all Band-Aids on hemorrhages. That's all this thing is. This isn't a real solution to anything. You're exactly right. They're going to go to 32. And they're going to start it in the middle of November. You're going to be playing football into the second semester, into February. Like, when does it stop? Why would 20? What makes you think 24 is the end? Like, how naive can we be?
Why stop at 32? Go to 40. Then the first eight can have buys again.
Go back. Perfect. Perfect. First eight get buys, and we'll do a 32-team bracket feeding into those teams. I mean, this is how this is going to go. They're just going to keep going because they're all just terrible business people. They just are. It's a bad business model. And then you get stuff like this. This is Pat Fitzgerald. He's your coach at Michigan State. Bake, you're going to love this. Pat Fitzgerald's son played quarterback at Iowa last year. So Pat Fitzgerald was asked about the 12-team playoff and Iowa missing out. This is his quote. Go to that Indiana game or the Oregon game in Kinnick. Those are playoff level games. Those were as good a football games as I've ever seen. Two really good teams going at it. If Iowa would have got in there, nobody would have wanted to play them. Go ahead.
My blood is boiling on all of this. And he talks about these games with Iowa. He's like, well, they lost on a last-second field goal to Iowa State.
Yep.
They played Indiana tougher than anybody else. They lost 20-15.
Yep.
They lost late to Oregon and USC back-to-back weeks, one-score games. You know what they did, Pat? They lost.
Yep.
Why can't that be your playoff game?
It is.
What makes you think that it's any different when they get in a playoff, when you're playing these teams, that they're going to win all of a sudden? Also with this, Tony Petitti talks about games mattering at the end of the season. You're telling me those games for Iowa against Oregon and USC towards the end of the season didn't matter? They absolutely mattered because they lost and they didn't get in because of it.
Yeah.
Like, you're contradicting yourself here, guys. And kudos to you for solidarity, all 18 of us. I don't know how you did that, by the way, because we can't get 18 people to agree on anything in the world anymore today.
Yeah.
But all 18 of these Big Ten coaches are beating the drum for Tony Petitti in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
But they're wrong. Like, you lost these games, Iowa. You had your chance.
Dude, they went 2-2 in November.
Your best win is what, against Penn State?
Without Aller.
What are we talking about
by
here?
By one. Yeah. No, they lost four games last year, Iowa did. They beat Penn State 25-24. They beat Michigan State 20-17. I got to get Iowa in this thing now? You had your playoff. It was the regular season. You lost four times. Good night. You don't have a single win against a ranked team. And you're trying to tell me, Fat Pat Fitzgerald, that all of a sudden, Notre Dame's going to be fearful to play Iowa? What are we talking about? You lost the games. You have a playoff in college football. They're hell-bent on it, though. They really are, and it's just going to come down to 2 weeks from now, how much resistance. My hunch is right now, because I do think that the SEC and ESPN will be pretty entrenched on this for reasons as we've discussed. My hunch is we're going to stay at 12 for a while. But what Petiti did here in the last 6 months is get enough people on his side to avoid a 16-team playoff. That's what he did. He got the ACC on his side. He got the Big 12 on his side. So you're not getting a 16-team playoff, which I prefer to 24. I prefer it to 12 because I hate byes. I'd like to go 16 and get rid of conference championship games. Just get rid of them and then supplement what used to be conference championship games with everybody has a game. 16. That's what I would like to do ideally, but we're not going to get there. So it'll be 12. They'll keep conference championship games, and then inevitably they will go to 24 and then 32, and it'll keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger because there's nobody out there with a real solution to any of this. Not without doing the obvious. The Cavs back at it tonight, and the loss of a true Titan and a prince of a man. We get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
This is Gordon Miller.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
News. Jack has personally invited the Fan to the Memorial Tournament, and we're broadcasting 30 hours of live content, and we'll try not to embarrass ourselves.
Sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The best facial hair on the air. This is Bishop and Friends.
I first met Billy Davidge when I first moved to town. And he was one of those guys who sought you out. When you were new, he'd seek you out and introduce, and they're like, oh, that's the guy that I see on television, or before that I heard on the radio and would see him on the pregame, and he was ever present on all of it. If you are of a certain age around here, I mean, he's as linked to the Blue Jackets as anybody, truly. I mean, he was everywhere that the Columbus Blue Jackets were represented. Billy Davidge was there. He was the kindest, best guy you're ever going to meet. He adored hockey, adored it, loved golf, loved his family. I'm not going to pretend that I knew him in a sense to where we were great buddies or anything like that. That certainly wasn't the case, but it was somebody that years ago, I mean, this is a decade ago before he got sick in 2014, where when I would see him at the event, I would make it a point to go and talk to him, just as he did when I first moved to town. And he would come over. I'll never forget it. He came over. Welcome to town. You ever have any questions, anything, feel free. I'm always available. That was kind of his stance. My guess is a great many of you who cover this team or have been around this team have similar stories, if you're listening, about Billy Davidge. That's just who he was. Had an incredible family. Loved his family to death. Loved to golf. I've heard a lot of people say this, and I won't pretend that I know him the way that some of these folks do, but my impression of him was that he gulped life. Really lived it as well as you can. And incredibly saddened that he passed away Monday at the age of 72. That public health battle with myeloma goes back to 2014. It was devastating when it was diagnosed, as someone who lost a parent to one of the blood cancers. Inevitably, there's a helplessness that comes with it for sure. It didn't affect him publicly. You still saw the same joy. You still saw the same smile from ear to ear, all of those things. Grew up in Ontario, began his career with the Blue Jackets as a team scout in 99, later transitioned to the radio booth in 2000, worked with the great George Matthews until 2009, and then moved to the television side of things until his retirement in 2019. Played collegiately here, was a captain for the Buckeyes in the mid-70s, also coached Miami's hockey program, spending 23 years in Oxford as a coach. coach. Also coached the golf team at Miami. Did hockey and golf at Miami. And loved, I think when you think about when Mr. Mack brings, decides to, that it's the Blue Jackets, we're bringing the Blue Jackets, and you think about the people that were instrumental hires to growing the game in this town, Bill Davidge is on that list. For me, he is. You guys are both Columbus natives. Not sure if you cross paths with him or not, but just had to have been an omnipresent force in your hockey consumption as a kid.
Yeah, never got the chance to meet him or cross paths with him professionally, but he was as synonymous with the Blue Jackets almost as Rick Nash, because there wasn't a Blue Jackets organization for the first 15 seasons without him. And even when he retired and he'd still kind of do spot duty on what was Fox Sports Ohio and Bally Sports and FanDuel Sports, it was always cool. It was like, oh, BD's up there. Like he's as much of that organization as anybody, and a titan of a man, really, that over the last 24 hours, just seeing the people that did know him well, that you have crossed paths with professionally, you see, you know, the tributes on social media, it tells a story of a great human and a true lover of the game and a lover of Columbus. And we love that.
So I didn't know Billy real well, and I actually really didn't know him as a member of the media hardly at all.
Oh, really?
I just knew him as a Columbus Blue Jackets fan from being at Blue Jackets things and seeing him.
Yeah.
And two of my most favorite people that have worked for the Blue Jackets that I've known over those times were Billy Davidge and Danny Gare. And I believe it's when Danny Gare left to go back to Buffalo and was no longer a part of the Blue Jackets TV crew. I believe that's when Billy switched over. He took Danny's seat in the TV booth as the color analyst when Danny was no longer there. And you talk about guys that love life. Both of those dudes were that. And one thing Billy loved maybe as much as hockey and the Blue Jackets was golf.
He loved it, man.
I got to
good
play.
Player, too.
I got to play not with him, but in a couple of golf outings that he was in over the years. And he would always sneak over to our group because he knew I had some swing lube in the bag. And he would always take a little partake in some of
little
that.
Taste.
And that's one of the things that we always had. Whenever we would see each other, we would joke about swing lube. And Billy had a stroke a couple years ago during this battle with cancer, or right after it, when he had beaten it the one time. And I was lucky enough to get to see him at a game this year. He was at one of the games, and I was there, and it was nice to see him, but it just wasn't the same Billy.
Yeah.
But he was still happy and smiling. He didn't look like himself, but he was still happy and smiling, and he will always be the dapper one to me.
He would always put together. Always.
Not
always
a hair out of place.
Never. No. And beyond just the beyond just like the hockey, almost like a hockey evangelist is kind of what a lot of those guys were. And I would certainly qualify Billy as one of those. I always admired the way that he was with his family. I knew his son Rob a little bit, met him a couple of times through the Logan family and was a little bit familiar with Rob. And what I saw from Billy with his family was something that I've tried to emulate because my kids want to beat my ass at ping pong, but I assume his boys wanted to beat him at golf constantly, and Rob probably was good enough that eventually he probably did. But the idea that's how you raise a family. He was an example of a father to me, of what a father should be. That's what I saw. And when you have young children, especially before we were having them, or even when we had NBC First, you were looking for folks that, that's kind of what I'm going for. And Billy was always one of those guys that I would look at and go, I feel like he's doing it right. Seems like he's doing it right.
And that was one of the sentiments. I can't remember who it was, but somebody put that, somebody that's been around them a little bit the past couple years. They said the way his boys took care of him at the end is something that everybody should strive for. And wherever Billy was, it was very rare that Robbie wasn't with him.
Yeah.
And he was even there at this last game this year. Robbie was there with him, taking care of him, making sure everything was good.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome man. Will be tremendously missed. And just an incredible family. as we, why don't we play this as we go to break here, Bake? This is this is one you're going to remember quite well. Here's Billy after the Jackets took care of Tampa in 19, and then we'll get to emails on the other side of this quick timeout.
Listen, Billy, it's not about us, but you've been here since day one. What was this like tonight?
This Friday, April 19th at 10 a.m. You can guarantee your seats with a full or partial ticket plan, and you can visit ticket representatives tonight.
Pre-emotional. Outstanding.
On the concourse in section.
You work so hard, and to be able to watch these guys just give it their all. That's what it's all about. I'm telling you what. Just see the fans. This is an amazing experience. Just to be proud of part of it for the last 20 years brings tears to your eyes.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skibbies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Performance matters. In
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. The baseball Buckeyes are still alive in the Big Ten tournament. Ohio State beat Rutgers last night 3-2 in Omaha. Ohio State will take on Michigan tonight at 7. Winner advances to Friday's quarterfinals. Loser goes home. Similarly successful night for the Guardians and Reds. Cincinnati made it 2 straight on the Phillies in Philadelphia. Sal Stewart's 2-run bomb in the 9th powered the Redlegs to a 9-4 win. Cincinnati's off today, home Friday hosting St. Louis. Cleveland's on a 5-game winning streak. The Guardians beat the Tigers 3-2 last night in 10. Cleveland looks to break out the brooms in Detroit today at 1:10. In the minors, the Clippers beat the Bats twice on Wednesday. Columbus and Louisville are back at Huntington Park today at 12:05. In the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals, the Cavs look to bounce back from their Game 1 collapse. They're at New York tonight for Game 2 at 8 o'clock. Cleveland's going to host New York in Game 3 on Friday. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union, voted best credit union for the past 8 years by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more.
The friends are the guests and listeners. Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Thursday. Paul Feinbaum coming up in 28 minutes from now. Lots to discuss with him. Let's kick it off, though, with a little bit of that mailbag. Hit it, fellas.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You've got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present emails.
All right, full mailbag again today. Let's start with Sean from Anna. The subject is the shoe upgrades. Longtime listener, second time emailer. I heard you talking about upgrades to the shoe earlier today. This was from Monday. I could not agree more with the email you read in regards to upgrades. Ohio State is more concerned with the big money donors than the common folk who actually fill the seats. Coincidentally, we were at the same game as you last fall against Ohio. My wife received 2 free tickets in A-Deck midfield through her employer. She may have been sitting next to you for all I know. So I bought 2 midfield tickets in C-Deck for myself and my other son, which I didn't mind at all. Great view from there. I agree. If the weather's good, that's a great one, parenthetically. The issues. Reduce seating capacity. I'm not sure why I had to pay for a ticket when my 7-year-old son's sitting on my lap the majority of the game because of how many people they shoehorn into the rows. If not individual seats, put seat backs on the benches. I shouldn't have to explain to my son what a piss trough is. This is 2026. This is a premier college football team. Figure out awful bathroom situation. I cannot comment for the women, but I'm sure it's not great. Parenthetically, I can say my wife agrees. The video board and sound system are terrible. Again, this is a premier national championship winning college football team. Figure it out. I've been to high school stadiums that seem to have more high tech than the shoe. Please don't bring back that Ohio song from last year. No offense to the band. It's an absolute buzzkill. It is quite clear the bigwigs went to Oregon in 2024 and tried to rip off what they do out there, which works great. Great tune. People get into it. Just play Ride by 21 Pilots if you want people to sing along. Parking is a nightmare. If you don't have a pass, you cannot get there 3 hours before the game. Our situation does not allow us to get there 4-plus hours before game. We ended up parking in probably the first location available. My wife and I with 2 young boys and 2-year-old girl had to walk a half hour each way to get to the stadium. The positives, he said, the drone show, the Buckeyes got to win, and that's pretty much it. He closes, I would never pay what they are asking again to be that miserable and uncomfortable. I'd rather watch it from my recliner. Hopefully they get their priorities straight. With that said, keep up the good work and go Bucks. This is the battle they're facing. This is the battle. Is what's my experience like? Because my experience in my recliner is really, really good. And I don't need to go to a bunch of these. I can go to one, have the experience, and I'll see you on down the road. And this is why this is such a tricky job for Ross. Here's one kind of on the other side of it. This one from Dave. David. Hey, fellas. Hope this this is the right email. It is. I'm listening to the podcast from Monday's show, and you asked the question of if the younger generation likes going to games, and that got me thinking. I love going to games at the Shoe. My wife and I try to go at least once a season, but when I was thinking about it, I think we love going so much is the tailgate, walking around High Street, pregame bar hopping, getting pizza at Varsity Club. If it wasn't Buckeye football, the aura of that stadium, the band, the pageantry, objectively and also respectively, that stadium is a pure fan experience, stinks. I say that because the way I consume football on a Saturday is on my 85-inch TV, which I got at Costco for $750, with a YouTube TV quad box and a TV for my bedroom on the floor, also a quad box on that TV. I have my smoker going, typically a bunch of buddies sitting in my living room, sports betting, watching every game in every time window. Bo, I don't even think it's your kids' generation. I think it's already happening. Also, BFS was the key to my house, getting gray on the sleeves. Love the show. Thank you for that part. You see what we talk about this. This is what they're up against. This is what they're up against. So if you could do one thing first, what's the first thing you do to that place? Reese, I think you were out, and when we had this conversation with Joshua, the idea of, okay, you're going to throw some money at this thing. Do you throw a bunch of money and renovate it? I don't know. See any scenario how they're ever going to have $1.5 billion to build a new one. I just don't know where that money would ever come from unless, you know, Wexner at the end. I just don't know who's going to be able to do that. I don't know. So to me, it's going to be renovate, and then where do you start?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like I'm beating the dead horse here. You just do it all at once. I feel the best way, because then it kind of takes away the idea that you've got to pick something. And everybody's complaints about the Shoe are valid. Yeah. And there's nothing you can do, really, about a 100-year-old building except one real thing. Because if you want to start picking and choosing spots, those other spots are still 100 years old.
Yeah.
So it's a question a lot of people don't want to have answered the way I'm going to answer it, but you do it all at once. Because Lowe's seating, the 1922 Club, those are nice for a certain group of Buckeye fans. But for the ones that are emailing, it's all bad.
I mean,
relative 80, 000, to what you're paying.
Yeah. I mean, maybe 15, maybe 10,000 people have the experience, the premium one,
right,
of 105. That's 95 who don't.
I want to stick up for the Shoe on a couple things just from this email.
Okay.
And you also know, Bo, I'm one of the ones that says build a new one.
Yeah.
But I want to stick up for the Shoe on a couple things here. I don't know when the last time the Shoe, like, changed how many people they try to fit in a row. Mm-hmm. But it's not the Shoe's fault that people in general have gotten bigger in this country. And, like, if you didn't have enough room
easy
for your son,
Scott Steiner, and
somebody
fat shame the fans.
I'm not. I'm a wide human myself here. So,
because he's fat.
If there's too many people in the row, that's somebody's problem. Like, if somebody snuck their friend in that wasn't supposed to sit there. Like, if you didn't have enough room for your kid, tell somebody to slide down. So I don't know, like, how that works with the Shoe, and I don't know if they're trying to shoehorn people in there. I just think that's the way those bleachers have been for a long, long time. The other thing I'm going to say here is I love the piss trough. I think more people should have it. I think it's an easier way to get more people in than have separate individual urinals there. I think the piss trough is an efficient way to do things.
I'm so uncomfortable when he said when you said it, Bo, reading the email, though, when Baker just said it twice.
You think we're in trouble with the FCC?
No, I don't think we're in trouble with it, but it's it's not a phrase I had on my bingo card.
I think more places should have it, quite frankly.
The boys loved it. Right, because they have the Michigan targets, so they thought it was great. They thought it was absolutely great. Yeah, I think the seats are a big problem. I think that they can't be any more than, are they 16 inches wide? I mean, it's tight. If you have grown adults, you don't eat. I'm not even talking about like people that weigh a little bit more. I'm talking about just average grown adults. It's they can't jam them in there. You're on top of each other. And they should do that. They should put seat backs on everything, or at least do they have those ones that they bolt in, put those on everything. So I think they got a point on that.
That would be the easiest thing for them to remedy, right? Is just put those railings on the back of the seats. That would be so simple.
Yeah, that would be a good way to start. This one from Mike Garrett Higo on Late Minute PGA. He writes, "Bo, always a great show. True story. A few years ago, I'm playing a Columbus District Golf Association event. I'm good enough to play and compete. I showed up a couple hours early to get ready, warm up, hit a few final practice putts, and walked 50 yards to the first tee. Along the walk, I met the executive director of the CDGA, a personal friend. For 30 seconds, we exchanged greetings, pleasantries about the weather, etc. I walked on the first tee where the official CDGA starter advised me I was assessed a two-stroke penalty because I was a minute late. Bad way to start a round. My mother taught me that if you're not 5 minutes early, you were late. Mom is right. Keep up the good work." Jeez, even locally.
I still say you're disqualified. I don't care.
It's so much worse that Higo was in the practice area and his caddy's screaming at him to get in the tee box.
Well, he fired him. Fired the guy.
For being right?
I don't know, I guess. Yeah, no, Higo fired the guy, and he missed the cut by one. Pretty big penalty there.
But it sounds like he fired the guy because he was trying to get him there on time.
I couldn't make sense of it.
He was too amped up.
Yeah, I guess so. This one from Scott, post-yard work drink. "As someone who hates beer and won't drink, I have to go a cold bourbon. My go-to is a Blanton's with ale ginger ale, with Ale 81 ginger ale. I have friends from Kentucky, and that's their local ginger ale, and said that's what some of the locals do. It's refreshing and goes down really well. Wife adds a couple bourbon cherries to hers." Well, that's I really like Blanton's. I have not put it with ginger ale, bourbon and ginger. I have not done that. I could give that a shot. I'll give you this one. If you're looking for a cool bourbon post-yard work drink, fill up a glass with rocks and use and then do the bourbon and then do a twist of lemon on it. And if you need to add a little like seltzer or something like that for the bubbles, if you're looking for that, that's pretty refreshing as well. I don't think it needs it. I think it ends up tasting like an iced tea, which is pretty sweet on that side. Speaking of, yesterday we're talking of all of the beers. This one from Greg. "Don't forget about Stroh's." That's Alex from Stroh's was like that golden retriever who was living his best life. That's a good one.
That is an old classic.
That's an old classic as well. This one was going to have to wait. We got a bunch more to get to. We'll get to it coming up. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
What kind of steak?
I got a New York strip, 14 ounce.
Can you put away 14 ounces of steak in one sitting?
What are you? Who are you talking to?
Yes, I did.
Mornings on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect cloudy skies to turn into sunshine throughout the day today, and temperatures will warm into the upper 60s to low 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 50s, and for Friday, showers will be likely with even a few thunderstorms possible as we go throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and breezy with highs in the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, back to the mailbag we go right after I tell you that we are proudly and always sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly eight decades. Let's start with AFC North Stadiums is the topic, and it's from Bob, who writes, Now that the Browns have broken ground for their new stadium, what do you think will be the next team in the AFC North to push for get a new stadium deal? All the other teams have stadiums about the same or older than the Browns. Would Cincinnati or Baltimore move across state lines like the Chiefs? This is a great question. My hunch is it would be Baltimore. Now, their stadium is perfect. I don't know if you guys have been. It's everything you'd want a stadium to be. The location is great. I know they've renovated some luxury suites. It's built kind of straight up, so every seat's pretty awesome. But I also think I could see Bisciotti being somebody who could get a little bit like, hey, let's try to maximize our value. I don't see it in Pittsburgh, and I don't see it at all in Cincinnati. So to me, maybe Baltimore. But even that, I don't know.
No, it's Bolt. Yeah, it's never. It feels like it's never going to happen for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the other stadiums which one that is in the worst shape or is the worst built or designed or
Cincinnati
whatnot.
Is
I would
the worst.
Think it's Cincinnati.
Yeah,
but yeah, I can't see the Brown family building a new stadium anytime soon. Now, I will say this, I don't think Baltimore's close enough, really, to any of the state lines to where they could move across. I mean, I know it's not super far, but it's not really close. Cincinnati could go right across the river, and it wouldn't change anything. People would be upset because, oh, my gosh, that's not Ohio, whatever. That's not technically Cincinnati. But it's all so close, and it's all the same thing that I could see eventually if the Browns were like, we do want a new stadium, and they need people to pony up, I could see Northern Kentucky saying, well, yeah, come on over and we'll help defer some of these costs. And
it's a great point out of you. I just don't see a scenario where, like, the state of Kentucky is going to fundraise a stadium for the Bengals. So, to me, I don't think it's any of them. I don't. I think Baltimore is the closest. This one is just titled as Cleveland from Sean. This is obviously coming off of the collapse in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Bo, he writes, Clevelanders experienced the highs and the lowest of lows in October and November of 1995. The Indians advanced the World Series for the first time since 1948. Let alone winning the division for the first time since 48. We were still on the high of the Tribe season when the news broke about Modell's move. Brutal to discuss to this day. Obviously, I have no recollection of that. Reese, you weren't alive. Bake, any? You probably don't have any point of reference on that either, about the World Series in 95 and then...
I was a Reds fan. I wasn't worried about the Guardians or then Indians.
How did you end up Reds-Browns?
Well, I think we've talked about this before, and it was a lot of people in Central Ohio are that way. Because of grandfather's fandom passed down to dad's, and now because there were no Bengals at the time.
Oh, I gotcha.
So a lot of people in Central Ohio, if they were a football fan, they were Browns fans, but the Reds were a little closer, and the Reds were probably a little better then. The Reds had been around forever, the oldest baseball team. So our grandfathers were Reds and Browns fans, and then the Bengals came.
Well, and also the Reds were good in the 60s and 70s. You know, so that, okay.
And yeah, the Browns were good back then, too.
For sure, yeah. I mean, they were dominant in the 40s and 50s, and really all through the 70s were very, very good, and then very good in the 80s.
Let me say, I wish I could give it all up. I wish I could give all of them up. I just can't. I was born into this.
Sports free agent like my kids. This one from Costa. The subject is Dan Gilbert. Hi, friends. Huge fan of the show. Listen daily in Chicago. After all the talk about Dan Gilbert and Gabe Seven in Detroit, I wanted to add some additional context about the type of man he is. There's a lot of chatter from a video of him at a game in a wheelchair. He unfortunately suffered a stroke in 2019, actually did his stroke rehabilitation at the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab in Chicago, where I'm a medical resident. It's easy for life-altering events like that to turn you a bit jaded and to shy away from public life. Instead, after his recovery, he's donating $375 million to literally build a Shirley Ryan Ability Lab within Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit. Wow. Not sure how it's possible to give back more than that. I'm a Northeast Ohio Pittsburgh fan who's experienced all kinds of quality and sports ownership of my teams, but Dan has made it easy to adopt the Cavs as my NBA team over the last 20 years. Keep up the great work in Columbus, Costa. you keep up the great work too, buddy. Sounds like you got doing some important stuff. But that is, yeah, the Gilbert, pretty remarkable ownership. What Dan has done over his stewardship of that franchise, for sure. This one from JT. Bo, longtime listener, first-time emailer. When you were talking about teams moving, you brought up the Whalers. As a Hartford native, I figured I'd clear the air. The Whalers played at the Civic Convention Center, which was not made for a team, so there was almost no luxury seats and about 15,000 seats total. The last nail in the coffin was when ownership demanded state money for a new stadium, and the state told them no, and they used that as saying the fans don't care and moved. It's still a big sore spot there, and everyone hates they still sell Whalers merch to make a buck because them and the UConn basketball was all we had. Happy First Friday. Keep it up. James. Yeah, that one was, so it's interesting. That may have been the first, yeah, you're not getting state funds. That's probably among the first ones of that. There was so much franchise moving in the early 90s, so much.
And I could be wrong, but that's a lot of the big reason that Hartford's really never talked about when they talk about NHL expansion. You hear Quebec all the time bringing the Nordiques back. Obviously, they went back to Winnipeg. Hartford just doesn't seem like it's big enough or can fund it all.
No. Yeah, no. And I don't think Quebec is either, Bake. I don't think Quebec can do that either. I think the most logical North American spot that isn't currently occupied is not Phoenix, is not Atlanta. It's Toronto. It's a second Toronto. That's the market that you'd be fine in. Would be that one. I mean, that's kind of an easy one. This one from Sean. The title is Call Signs. Hey, BFS crew, with the Top Gun anniversary, what would your call sign be? Cheers, Sean. So I've been asked this before because of some of my connections with the United States Navy, and they've offered to like get us stuff through the years, and so. One of the ones that we kind of settled on was Nightcap, was what we went with for me, was Nightcap. And I thought, well, that
seems appropriate.
Yeah, a little bit of double entendre, like night, all of that. So Nightcap is the one that we went with there. You guys got a call sign?
Shrimp might be endearing.
Shrimp.
What are the exact rules on a call sign?
Anything that won't get us kicked off the radio.
Yeah. Not piss trough. Well, don't we call that?
I mean, shake and bake, right?
Shake and bake is right there for you.
You're not first, you're last.
Shake and bake is right there for you. This one from Chad. Boy, we've gotten emails from everywhere today. This one from Austria, by the way. Cleveland on the Danube, a longtime loyal listener and Austria bureau chief here. This is from Chad. Wanted to share something with you. Maybe the Austrian Bundesliga, he knows that I have an interest in soccer, isn't on your radar. Since I moved from Cleveland to Austria, I've been following LASK, the soccer club here in Linz, Austria. Honestly, the story feels very similar to someone from Cleveland. Last, LASK just completed the double, winning both the Austrian Cup and the league title in the same season. What makes it remarkable is the club had not won either trophy in 61 years, not the double specifically, either one. In European football, the double is one of the hardest achievements possible because it means surviving both a long league grind and then the knockout tournament as well. What makes it more resonate is not just the trophies, but the city around it. Linz reminds me of Cleveland a lot. Industrial identity, overlooked by bigger, glamorous cities, proud people, fans carrying decades of frustration while still showing up and believing anyway. The Browns have not won a title since 1964. LASK last major trophy came in 1965. Different sports, different countries, but emotionally the same neighborhood. That's why this feels bigger than sports over here. It feels like proof that long drought scars and maybe next year cultures are not permanent. Honestly, Linz and Cleveland feel like cousins. That's a good one. Thanks for all you do. Love your shows. That's fandom. Somebody just had, there's a bunch of Arsenal fans out there, right, that are going nuts because they won the Premier League for the first time since 2004. That's the payoff. When you get it, it's so sweet. Now, you might not ever get it in some cases, and then it's less sweet.
What I took from that is we backed the wrong Ohio team for the Super Bowl this year.
That's
Browns
right.
Are winning it. That's what I took from that.
They're coming back, baby. This one from Zach. This will be our last one. Hey, Bo, I've been dealing with my taste and smell being greatly reduced since COVID. As you guys know, I'm dealing with that right now. If you have a trip or a big event in which you want to have your taste back in full, I'd recommend asking your doctor about prescribing an oral steroid. This clears the problem almost immediately for me. Worked wonders before he went to Hawaii, but the second I get a cold, it knocks my senses right back out. I will say it's not all bad, not being able to smell. As a father of two kids under four, I have not smelled a dirty diaper in 3 or 4 years. Good luck, Zach. That's what I was saying. I'm unclogging a toilet last weekend. I couldn't smell anything. No impact. Maybe it's not all so bad.
Jason Knapp said he's going to call you next time. Somebody's flushing their dude wipes around here.
I'm not volunteering.
You got a thing that day. Yeah, you can't.
I'm not doing that. Mr. Feinbaum in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Oh, Bob, man, listen to me.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum, sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
My friend, after years of lamenting why the Big Ten did not have a media day that was public the way that the SEC does down in Destin, where you will be in a couple of weeks, Tony Petitti says, why don't you hold my cocktail? We're going to go five-star resort, cliffs of the Pacific Ocean, Rancho Palos Los Verdes or something like that, $1,000 a night, and away we go. Not sure that everybody on the beat can get there. Not sure that he cares, Paul. What did you make of the Big Ten's play out in Southern California this week?
Well, again, I think it just shows the disconnect between Petitti and reality. You know, the SEC has its event in Destin, Florida every year. It's gotten so big that almost no media other than preferred ESPN talent are actually in the main hotel, which used to be a badge of honor, but it's still easy to get to. Mm-hmm. And it's affordable because you're at the beach. You can find someplace to stay. I mean, if you're a beat guy in Nebraska, you're going to struggle, or in state college, you're going to struggle to find the money to go to this. And the real reason is there's no access. There's what are you getting out of going? And it's a bad look. I'm disturbed that the SEC this year is having its media days in Tampa, which, yeah, I realize is in the South, but it's nowhere near where most of the writers live.
I made similar points. There's all sorts of great resorts in this part of the country that a lot of people could have gotten to. There's cities that have hold these type of things very easily, and they chose to go to really one of the hardest places you could get to. And there are no Hilton Garden Inns near this place either. No. So it was going to be a choice. And respectively, there's not a whole lot of people out there. Pete's out there and Scott Docterman and some other folks are out there, but not a lot of people are out there. I guess before I ask you one follow up on that, do you remember a moment when the SEC meetings became the big deal that they are now?
Well, I'll try to make this quick, but yeah, I covered it in the 80s, and it was a family affair. You hear the old timers complain that it's not anymore, but it's still, it used to be that everybody brought their families and everyone knew each other. And in the late, I think it was early 2000s, a local radio show decided to go down there because it had just gone a little bit broader. And that little local radio show, which you know, created a monster because the next year everybody else came. And then the next year the SEC said nobody is welcome, at least from a radio standpoint. But it was mainly a print deal. And even now it's gotten too big. It's basically it's a mini SEC media days. I mean, what these are spring meetings where real work gets done. Media days are a carnival. But it's also tells the audience, okay, football season is around the corner. Start paying attention. And that's where I think the Big Ten missed. Now, in terms of TV, we do our show 2 days down there, and you've seen it, Bo. I mean, it's The first day is all coaches. The next day is administrators, Sankey, and various media people. But there's still something to it where I don't. I assume the Big Ten Network had. I don't know because but that would have been the main reason why it didn't matter to Tony Petitti where it was.
Yeah. No. All of it. And by the way, one of these days I need to get the story on how you were like, yeah, let's go to this thing, because there's some incredible content here. That was an incredible foresight out of you to knock that out with your show. But in terms of use the word disconnect. That's the word I used. I think it's a tremendous disconnect to the Big Ten. And I think some of Tony Petitti's comments are incredibly disconnected from what the constituency, the one I'm worried about is the one here. And it bleeds scarlet and gray. And they're not going to have to worry about if it's a 2014 playoff or a 16-12. They're always going to be in the mix. It doesn't affect the folks here a whole hell of a lot. And so then to come on here and say, I don't understand the pushback when I was running Major League Baseball. Paul, for me, as soon as he says that, I say, okay, you lost me. You lost me. Because that's not what this is. That's not what college football is. And I know we're caroming toward all of this, and there's probably no way to stop it. But when I hear him say things like that, it's off-putting to me, and he's speaking. I'm his constituent. Our listeners are his constituents, the most important ones.
Without a doubt. I'll give you one little footnote. On Monday of this week, we did our program in Hoover, which is south of Birmingham, at the SEC baseball event. It's a huge event, as you know. Mm-hmm. It didn't start till Tuesday, by the way, but we started doing it on Monday, and we found out late in the show that a certain guest had just arrived. A certain regular guest had just flown into Birmingham, which is downtown about 35 minutes away, and he wanted to come out and be our last guest. I tell you that story because it was Greg Sankey. Mm-hmm. And Greg didn't tell me this, but Greg said he didn't show up because we're in Birmingham, but we'll see him next week. Mm-hmm. He showed up because he wanted to make sure he was on the record on what was going on at the 5-star resort in SoCal. And what he didn't say a lot, it didn't get a lot of coverage because it was late in the day. Mm-hmm. But what he did say was, Tony Petitti and I get along, and we're going. And obviously, next week there will be some conversation about 24. He didn't run away from it like I think a lot of people thought he would, but he just wanted to give a preview. That story doesn't mean anything except that he is aware of his constituency, mm-hmm. unlike your king.
Yeah, not mine. Not mine. Not this constituency's. Not king. And I don't know. We got to fight. We may have a coup in our hands if this keeps up around here. We put this up on the poll all the time, Paul, and it gets annihilated. We'll put it on a poll. We'll put 16, 12, 8, 24, and it's 24 is always last. There isn't anybody around here who wants 24. There just isn't. And I get it. They can talk about Iowa playing Vanderbilt and somehow that game's going to matter. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care about it. But this is the thing that's interesting. Some of Sankey's, even his guys, I mean, you've heard from Tennessee and others kind of opening up to 24. Is Sankey kind of like the scene in Braveheart where he's just hold, and will, quite frankly, your network help him hold off this 2014 playoff?
I think they will. And don't forget, Greg Sankey hasn't forgotten a year ago when Tony Petitti was holding it up. Mm-hmm. He even told us that this idea had come up a couple of years ago, and they decided to wait. And really, you said the most important thing, and this is the hardest thing for us to talk about. I mentioned this on Greenberg's show the other day, and I thought he was going to have a heart attack. Where I said, ESPN is really the most important card in this room. I said, hope I'm allowed to say that. Because you know, the great Pete Thamel and all these guys that cover college, it's hard to cover your own employers. And what little I know is I don't think ESPN wants anything to do with a 24 for the obvious reason they lose the clout. Once they're not even in great shape at 16, but they can negotiate it. And I just don't understand, as hard as Sankey tries to act like he and Petitti are collegial, I've yet to see anything come out of that arrangement other than another 10 to 15 to 20 to $30 million collectively wasted on Georgetown lobbyists, which we saw this week amounted to absolutely nothing.
How about that? How about that? Actually, we're not going to solve your little college sports problem. Back to the drawing boards, kids, which we all predicted. We all predicted it would be that way, which is why, like, if you can have some little victory, I suppose that you got to have it. We were talking about Sankey and Petitti for a second there. You saw the comments from the Iowa State athletic director about, hey, Vine, you guys just go do your own thing. I said, well, on our show, I said, be careful what you wish for, because Texas Tech is in a similar boat, a lot of these SEC and Big Ten teams with new money. Same thing with Miami, which is an ACC school. When you hear the Big 12 and the ACC try to get their opinions out, it's a little bit like lions don't pay attention to the sounds of sheep. It's kind of the way that the analogy I've used on this thing. Do you think there's anything that can bring Sankey and Petitti back together to actually have some sort of common knowledge and some sort of common goal, I guess, for these two conferences to finally see eye to eye and come up with something meaningful? Or is that just too pie in the sky?
It's possible, and it comes down to the quote-unquote phrase governance. That means that, you know, we're going to say goodbye to the NCAA, but the problem is in college football, they've already said goodbye to the NCAA. I mean, they could conceivably, and I think they're both on the same page here, come up with their own rules, essentially saying we're going to give one or two, you can transfer one time, you can do this, you can do that. All the things that Congress is trying to do, but and they can't, and then the ACC and the Big 12 have no option other than to say, we'll go along with you. But I'm not sure that's really going to be a great win after all this. And I'm not also sure they'll actually be able to do it, because that's hard to, it's hard to govern yourself. I thought the College Sports Commission was supposed to do that. We now know the House settlement was a complete and total joke. Nothing came out of that.
Absolutely nothing. Great talk as always, buddy. Look forward to seeing how the SEC responds at their meetings next week. Appreciate your time as always.
Thank you. Talk to you.
All right, there he goes. Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN and the SEC Network, joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Ma, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
For the ones who...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant.
Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable.
The Fan.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Thursday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
In a recent appearance on the Script podcast, Urban Meyer says he didn't really care when Cardale Jones posted the now famous tweet, quote, "Why should we have to go to class if we came here to play football? We ain't come to play school. Classes are pointless."
When I saw the tweet, because I guess I'd never overreacted. Was I upset? No. I mean, it's stupid stuff, and we all have done stupid stuff. So it was Cardale. I knew Cardale. Cardale didn't take school as serious as he should to, but that makes him like most young people that, are really concentrating on football. So, yeah, it's a great story, but, I think I can say it now because I don't care. But, I mean, I could care less when Cardale said that tweet, and because I knew Cardale. I knew we had to kick his ass every once in a while, and we did.
Thing or not a thing.
So, I'm going to ask a question before if I say it's thing or not a thing. Was the question back to Cardale from anybody else? It had to have been. Is that the way you remember it? That it wasn't a big deal? Because I see no scenario where that's the way that played out. None. Cardale wasn't Cardale then. He wasn't. So I don't remember it that way. I remember the presser was when Urban was asked about it, and I don't remember him responding that it was no big deal. Now, that could have been just a show, and maybe in his heart of hearts he did, but I'd be very curious to know Cardell's real truth on that. We have Joshua in with us tomorrow. Maybe we can ask him.
I don't know why you would say that. Like, why would you ever think Urban Meyer overreacted to anything?
There's no chance that's how that went down. Oh, no big deal. Kids being kids. That there's zero chance.
Urban may have felt that Cardell was right, or he may have felt that Cardell feeling that way wasn't a big deal. I'm guessing Urban was probably not happy that that tweet was put out there and that tweet became a story.
No, I think that's fair.
By the way, we talked a couple days ago about you having a work dream where you're late and can't get to a set. Yeah. I had a work dream last night, and Urban Meyer was involved that we're going to talk about in three things later today. Geez. Good Lord. I woke up in a sweat.
You don't want him up in you. I'll tell you that.
He'll do that. After being dumped by the Saudis, LIV Golf's looking to raise $250 million from new investors. Prospective suckers will be told that the full $250 could get LIV to profitability within around 20 months. Could also raise significantly less, down to about $150 million, and then bank on rising team values in a new media rights deal. LIV is still operating with the remaining Saudi money, but needs to close its new investment by the beginning of October at the latest. Thing or not a thing?
I think this is not a thing because I don't think it goes anywhere. I really don't. This is something that MLS has fought for 30 years, and they've been in a healthy spot for about the last decade or so, but it took a long time. In this country, we are incredibly spoiled by our sports in that we get to watch the best at the best compete at the highest level professionally. LIV Golf is not the best of the best. And they tried to buy the best of the best, and they bought a lot of them. And they had the infinite funds and all of that stuff, but even that ran dry or was disinterested. And so this is what they get. This will not move the needle at all. They weren't rating when they had Rahm and Koepka and all of those guys. No one was watching it around here. You've seen some of the attendance at the events around here. Very, very sparsely attended. This would be, you might as well burn money on fire if you're going to invest $250 million in LIV.
Same LIV Golf. Same. I'm going to tell investors that if I get $250 million, I'll be profitable.
It's all you need.
In about 20 months. So I'm on the same plan here as LIV Golf. I don't know if I can get any investors to buy or jump, but I promise you, you know what? Maybe even if you just give me $150 million, I can promise I'll be profitable in 20 months. So
I would love to see that PowerPoint from LIV Golf. Like, well, 10X or 10X? When? Soon. How soon? I don't know. Maybe by October.
Bryson, if you just pay a little more for your team here, I think we could really get this thing going.
I forgot about their team golf thing, and the idea is that that can be profitable. Like, the entire thing's not profitable, so what do the individual teams mean?
I do think that there is... I think the PGA Tour... LIV impacted PGA in a big way, financially, in terms of getting that where it needed to be from a rev share standpoint with the players, the elite tournaments, all of that stuff. It helped. And I do think that it wouldn't be the worst thing on tour if there were a couple of stops that were a team golf to give you that feel.
It'd be a fun wrinkle, yeah.
It'd be fun every once in a while to play. I think they do one down at the one in New Orleans a little bit. Maybe they do some sort of a pairing thing. But I do think that golf should be open. I talked about this with the PGA, with the match play thing. I think golf should be open to playing golf like the way the casual people play golf. Like, one tournament where you're like pairs, you know, like an outing would be fun, I think, if they did that every once in a while. Wouldn't be the worst thing.
On Wednesday, LeBron James' Instagram activity caused a stir. He liked post that pictured LeBron in a Cavaliers uniform with the caption, "Come home," printed on the front. Thing or not a thing?
Yeah, I mean, with him, it's all a thing. Every little piece is a thing. How long have we been doing this with him? 20 years? Is it like 07? Like, when were we first talking about cap space? When he was set up to leave Cleveland. He left in what, 09?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say the two summers before that, 08, no, we're about 20 years of playing this game of where will LeBron go? And, I mean, it's a 43-year-old man now at this point. Like, what are we doing? I mean, or is he 41, 42? How old is he? He's in his 40s. So he loves doing this stuff. He used to do, he did it. There was the story last week that the ESPN folks put, McManaman put out about him, about how, you know, he's got to see it from the Lakers. He feels disrespected, all this. Oh, for God's sakes, man. Like, everyone does everything for you. And it's, yes, he wants this. He wants the attention from it. It's amazing after all these years he's still, and I defend him as much as anything in terms of what he's delivered on the court. I think it's unbelievable that we said he was going to be great, and then he delivered on all of it. But he does love this side of it, and it's off-putting for me.
It's definitely a thing, because he knows how to get people talking about him. Just a simple, like, what, you know, he was grinning like a fox eating yellow jackets when he liked that tweet.
Yeah.
And said, man, wait and see how all the people in Cleveland and L.A. and all the NBA fans everywhere eat this up. Yeah. He knew exactly what he was doing. And, I mean, it's pretty genius on his part.
Yeah.
LeBron will be 42 on December 30th. The judge in the Brendan Sorsby NCAA case recused himself on Wednesday. Lubbock County Judge Philip Hayes didn't give a reason for his decision to step down, but he holds a pair of degrees from Texas Tech, including a law degree. Sorsby's lawsuit seeks a hearing for a preliminary injunction on the NCAA's eligibility ruling by June 15th. If he doesn't regain his eligibility, he'll have until the 22nd of June to apply for the NFL's supplemental draft. So they got to find a judge before then. Thing or not a thing?
It's a thing that the guy recused himself because I think they were banking on him not. Would be my read. So I'm surprised that the judge did. I'm surprised it wasn't back-channeled, and they were hoping for that. My read on that would be that maybe Texas Tech is trying to distance themselves from all of this, and maybe what they're hoping for is that he goes somewhere else, and the obvious is, yes, you can test the supplemental draft if there's NFL teams that are interested in you. That'd be my read of it. That feels like a thing.
So my first instinct on this was somebody from higher above him said, you're out. You're not going to be on this case. Your thought there, Bo, is interesting. Maybe Texas Tech wants to wash their hands clean.
That's my
of Brendan Sorsby in this situation. If this judge, just did this on his own, though, good job out of him. Because that's what they're supposed to do, right? If there's anything that could be a conflict of interest, you need to, like, jury members are supposed to do that. A judge should definitely do that. So if he did this on his own and, like, you know what? I got degrees from this school. I'm too close to this. Mm-hmm. Good job out of him.
Yeah. I don't have enough faith in any of it to believe that's the case. So I'll go with my conspiracy theory that Texas Tech is trying to eradicate themselves from what is otherwise a pretty big mess. No mess down in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow with his best team since he has been a Bengal. Perhaps he weighed in on it in a very busy offseason. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
I'm Leslie.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. We got day baseball in the Arena District. The Clippers look for their fifth straight win, hosting the Louisville Bats at 12:05. Both teams are at Huntington Park through Sunday. In the majors, the Reds are off Thursday. Cincinnati's back home Friday, hosting St. Louis. Red Legs are on a two-game winning streak. As for the Guardians, Cleveland looks to break out the brooms in Detroit. Guardians are on a five-game winning streak after beating the Tigers 3-2 last night in 10. Thursday's first pitch from Comerica is 1:10. The baseball Buckeyes are alive in the Big Ten tournament. Ohio State battles Michigan tonight at 7. You can hear that game over on The Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial. Tyler Danberg's going to have the call with coverage at 6:55. Winner advances to play Nebraska in Friday's quarterfinals. In the NBA, the Knicks host the Cavs tonight at 8 in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. This update is sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing. Reliable. Local. Built right.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
it is one of the most, probably one of the more unpredictable, stunning rises that no one saw coming that we've witnessed it's among them. It's in that conversation. When Joe Burrow left here after 3 years at Ohio State, and I was doing the show with Threes at that time, and we were talking about where to go, and I remember saying this vividly on the air, and it was between LSU and Cincinnati, and Threes would back me up on this. His thing was, go to Cincinnati. You know Luke. Luke's going to take care of you. There's some familiarity there. My view of it was a much bigger gamble, which was, if he goes to LSU, he will never buy a meal in the state of Louisiana again. That all he's got to do is beat Bama once and they'll beat statues. Well, he did more than that. He had probably the greatest single season along with Cam Newton in the history of the sport, won the national championship, the Heisman by the largest margin ever, and everything else that came with winning at LSU. That led to being the number one overall pick in the draft by the Cincinnati Bengals. And now all of a sudden, a kid who grew up in Athens, Ohio, went to Plains High School, sat for years here, had an awkward dye job haircut as a high school kid. Now all of a sudden, he's one of the faces of the league. And immediately the dividends start to pay. They're into the Super Bowl by the time he's into year three in the league. Gets hurt in year one. Year three, he's in the Super Bowl, and they look like a team that's going nowhere and going to be in the mix for a very, very long time. But the thing that he always had to deal with was the injuries and, of course, Bengals mismanagement. Well, all of this stuff was going on. You mentioned this earlier this week, Reese. We had the Hey Guys question of which professional athlete in the state would you want to co-host the show? And you wrote Burrow. You said Burrow. And my pushback was, does he say much? And your pushback to my pushback was, well, I'd like to know if there's more. Is there more to Joe Burrow? Here's the other part about Joe. He doesn't talk much. He doesn't. Doesn't in the off season, doesn't in season. In fact, Joe Burrow I'm pretty sure still true. Marissa Contepelli used to work for the Bengals. She's now, I think, the Inns Arena for the Reds. She used to work for the Bengals, and I've talked to her about this at the Combine. She was an intern of mine, and we talked about it at the Combine. Like, Joe had never done a one-on-one with the Bengals media. Never. We had Ben Baby on, and Joe doesn't do one-on-ones with anybody. Ben is one of those guys. We've had some other guys who've kind of cultivated relationships on the side with Joe, but he very much keeps his thoughts private, while living a very public life. I mean, he's a CNBC type of guy, whether it's Fashion Week or big MMA fights, big boxing, all that stuff. He goes to all of that stuff, but he keeps his thoughts relatively private. So when he does talk, you pay pretty close attention to it. Joe's going to turn 30 years old this season for the Bengals. He will turn 30. The clock is ticking. He let it be known two off seasons ago, I want them all back. I want Trey. I want Jamar extended. I want T extended. I want them all back. And the Bengals said, yes, sir. May we have another? They did all of the things that he asked. Now, I do think the pressure is on him. The pressure is on him to deliver. I think this is the best team that he has been a part of in Cincinnati since the team that got to the Super Bowl. I think this team had, you pull up their R lads, there are not many holes. They're not. They're plenty serviceable defensively. The defensive line's been addressed in a big way. There is no reason that this team, like, just do the game with our lads, folks. If you're at home, you're listening, whatever, pull up our lads and pull up the Bills depth chart and the Bengals depth chart and tell me which one's better. Top to bottom. My guess is you're going to get a lot of Bengals answers.
Only Buffalo fans would say the Bills.
I agree. And I think the only pushback you would get is, okay, but he's got to stay healthy. And that's real. That's very, very real. Burrow had a 24-minute session with the media yesterday. My hunch would be this is twice as long as any previous media session that Joe Burrow has had with the Cincinnati media. He touched on myriad topics. Let's start with the front office stepping up and getting things done.
Yeah, I would say that's fair to say. You know, the front office has taken a lot of heat from fans, the public, the media, and, we put all that behind us. They went and made it happen with free agency. I thought the draft, obviously we'll find out. We don't know a ton about these rookies yet, but it seems like they brought the right kind of guys in. And then obviously with Dexter making a trade like that, that doesn't happen a ton in the NFL, so it's exciting to see.
He was also asked about his influence on the front office. Here's what Joe had to say about that.
No, I would say, we had a lot of communication during free agency. We didn't have our postseason meeting like we typically have, so And I would say, if anything, I was less involved this year than years past. You know, there's no secret that the last several years didn't go the way we wanted to, and there's a lot of blame to go around for that, myself included. And so we're in a great spot this year. We brought in, like I said, great people and great players. You can feel the vibes of the locker room. You know, the energy is elevated right now. And we have some veteran guys that can come in and show the younger guys on defense what it takes, what it means to be great every day. And so that's, like I said, exciting to be a part of.
I made the statement. I think it's the most talented roster he's had since he's been there. Somebody down there asked him about that as well. Here's his answer.
You saw what this roster looked like in 2021, albeit you were young, but that was a Super Bowl roster. Do you think what you see right now from this organization and in that locker room is a Super Bowl roster?
I think this is the most talented roster that we've had since I've been here.
There you go. Most talented. Now, from a Bengals perspective, Bengals fan perspective, is the pressure now on Joe to perform and perhaps most especially to stay upright? Because if he stays upright, he performs.
Yeah, it's going to be all on him. Because I think there's a understanding of what Zach Taylor is as a head coach. So I think if this doesn't go the way they think it they we all think it should in an AFC championship chase, then Zach Taylor's probably, I don't know. I thought Zach Taylor was going to be dismissed last year, but he's known. So is Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. And if you can keep Joe Burrow upright and with the job that the Cincinnati Bengals front office has done over the last two seasons, really, then it is all on nine. As I'm sure he would like it to be. Because yeah. Now he's got there's no other questions but for his health. And so I'm very interested to see if he's done anything to make sure, if he will do anything in the first couple weeks of the season to make sure he takes less hits.
I don't think the pressure's all on Joe this year, because you just mentioned he's the scapegoat's already there in Zach Taylor. Most Bengal fans can't stand Zach Taylor. You just said couldn't believe he's still there now, that he's the only coach that remains in the AFC North. So I don't think it's all on Joe right now. Because if it doesn't go as planned this year, Zach Taylor gets the axe. They bring in someone new. But that then does put the pressure all on number nine.
I was just looking at Joe's, you know, kind of career on Pro Football Reference. He's got 3 seasons out of 6 where he's played the entire year. Year 2, year 3, Super Bowl year. And then year five, he did as well. He played all 17 games. And probably the one that is most painful is year 5, because that season, that's the year they lost early to the Patriots with like Jacoby Brissett at home. They got off that slow start. They ended up missing the playoffs by a game. Remember, they were all watching the last week. They went 9-8. Burrow talked in this press conference about winning the MVP and breaking the Bengals passing records, all of that stuff. He would have won the MVP mm-hmm. in 2024 if they went 10-7.
Absolutely.
He completed nearly 71% of his passes, 4,918 yards, 43 touchdowns, just 9 picks. He led the NFL in completions, attempts, yards, touchdowns, first downs, and yards per game. He was 4th in the MVP because they went 9-8. They go 10-7. He wins it. He absolutely wins it. There's a little bit of the reality hitting home too, with like when I said that he turns 30. Like, we all remember him in the state championship game with the M&M hair, Reese.
That's nuts. I remember him throwing 7 touchdowns for Athens in a loss at Ohio Stadium.
Yep.
No, 30 is, that's nuts.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But that's how quick this has gone. And I think, you know, this is a 24-minute, he answered every question that was out there. I'm sure that there's a little bit of football mortality. It's time to go. Because there's I worry about this, the first ballot Hall of Famer. And we could have that conversation coming up in a little bit in terms of Hall of Famers. I saw something in the NFL that was kind of interesting on that. But you don't want to be Dan Marino in this, where you get there early and then never get back. And I think that they are, to me, they're one of the two or three favorites in the AFC. And the only thing that ought to give you any pause is just health. That's it.
Speaking of players turning 30, did you see Josh Allen turn 30 today?
God, we're all getting old, man. Everybody's getting old. Speaking of turning 30, I'm pretty sure Deshaun Watson is turning 30. OTAs open to the public yesterday up in Berea. What did I see? What did Todd Monken have to say about it? We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Hey, what's up?
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ice. I can't watch horror movies, but there was something about the Saw movies.
What movies?
What did I say?
Horror.
Too slow.
Horror.
Thank you.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect cloudy skies to turn into sunshine throughout the day today, and temperatures will warm into the upper 60s to low 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 50s. And for Friday, showers will be likely with even a few thunderstorms possible as we go throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and breezy with highs in the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
There is no way of knowing how things will play out when you play actual football in September and October. There's no way of knowing how it will look if you do, a joint practice. No way of knowing. But what I do know right now is that if you were the Men in Black guys and you got the Men in Black device and you paratrooped into Berea and you watched Browns quarterbacks practice, there is no doubt in my mind that if you had no bias at all, that you would say number four is the starter. That's what you would say, because that's how much better, and not to say that the others are struggling, although they both Dylan and Shadur threw an interception yesterday. Not to say that they are struggling. They're just young quarterbacks. And Deshaun Watson looks like a guy who was a Pro Bowl quarterback who one time led the NFL in passing. He is bouncy. The ball comes out quick. It is accurate. You guys have probably seen the video by now of the throw that he made to Denzel Boston. By the way, I told you that he was flashing. That was Denzel Boston, by the way. Did you guys see the clip I'm talking about that the Browns put up yesterday?
I did not, but I'll post it in BFS.
Yeah, so Denzel Boston is going one-on-one with Tyson Campbell, who's damn good. And he beats him on a stutter. And Deshaun drops it in the bucket from about 45 yards before the safety comes over for a touchdown. So, not to suggest, but there's no way of knowing. I have no way of knowing how Deshaun Watson will play next fall. I have no way of knowing if he can be back to something that he was 4 or 5 years ago. Nobody could. But in a true quarterback competition, if you're just looking at what we've been able to see, and yesterday was a practice where the media was able to watch, there's no way that you would say that Watson wasn't the starter. In terms of the rep breakdown, that's the way that it looked as well. And Watson, if it's a percentage of reps, I would say that Deshaun Watson took 3/4 of the reps, or certainly 2/3 of the reps is what it probably felt like. And based on what you saw, that's worthy of that, based on the way that he's going about his business. Todd Monken, who's going to make this decision, was asked several questions about this. Fellas, let's start with the one where he talks about kind of what I kind of the position I put you guys in, which was the Men in Black guys with a clean slate. Watson has that with Monken.
Well, he's been great. I mean, I think everybody would say it. I'm all for a clean slate.
You know, I want the best for every player that we have, every coach. I want the best for, you know, anybody in this world to have a great life. I think it's really cool that he still has an opportunity with a change, right, to showcase his ability, see where he's at. I'm all for it.
Todd was also asked about the two quarterbacks. Here he is on Watson and Shador.
Well, I shouldn't say surprised. I think more people would be surprised. Deshaun's athleticism shows up. Obviously, he's had that, but he's had his injuries that have set him back. So, but that's been, I wouldn't say a surprise, but it's exciting to see. It's a weapon for him. It's one of his superpowers is athleticism. And I think Shador's come miles in terms of his progressions, getting the ball out, his understanding of concepts. I think he's really, really come a long way.
Yeah, I said this earlier in the week in regard to this quarterback competition. I think that's why this thing has to get kind of wrapped up as quickly as Todd is comfortable with it. You are choosing between two very different players. There's very little that Deshaun Watson and Shador Sanders have in common. There really isn't. Watson can win from the pocket. He can win outside the pocket. Watson's arm strength is something that when you see him with the others, with the exception of Talen Green, who's got an absolute hose, I think he could throw it through a brick wall, quite honestly, but he's really raw. Watson compared to Sanders and Gabriel, arm talent, it's not particularly close in terms of the two, in him versus the two second-year players. It's interesting, both Sanders and Gabriel are probably closest comparatively in terms of if they're going to win in the league, the way that they're going to have to do it, and that's going to have to be from the pocket. Both of those guys are going to have to win from the pocket. Shador and Dylan can both buy time in the backfield if need be. Dylan is more of a see it, rip it, out quick, slow matriculate down the field, and Shador takes chances. But in terms of if either one of them is going to have success as a legitimate full-time starter in the league, it's going to have to come from the pocket. The Watson that we're seeing early on in this OTA period is somebody who can win from the pocket or without, or outside rather. So it just comes down to, from Todd Monken's perspective, do you trust that the Watson that you're seeing in practice can be the Watson that translates to games? Because it's been a long time since he's been thrown into the water like this. So that to me is how this is going to play out. And I'll be very curious to see what the next couple of weeks look like. But if yesterday is any indication, Watson has a big lead in this thing and is, in terms of kind of how this could shake out, it feels, and I've been talking about this for months. This isn't breaking any news. I mean, we've been talking about this for months that with the clean slate, Watson has responded to it and he looks great. How does he look in September? That's the decision that Todd Monken's trying to jockey with right now.
And it also, it feels, listening, reading, even seeing stuff from people who are boots on the ground there in Cleveland, that Monken's got a quarterback in Watson that he feels is ready to go, so that the next couple of weeks don't have to be anything but really install, or at least training camp can be install and go with Shador, with Dylan, with Talen. Those are projects because you've got a lot of bad to work out in them. I'm not saying Watson doesn't have a lot of bad. He just has less bad. Just less bad from a pure practice, pure talent, pure quarterback standpoint. And for Monken, you can go into week one with a pretty easy schedule and figure it out and win games more likely with Watson ready to go.
So that throw Deshaun made that you were talking about is pretty good, but that stutter step is ridiculous.
Oh, Denzel Boston's a stud. Yeah, this is known.
I told you. I watched about 60 seconds of one rookie minicamp, and I went, oh, he's a dude.
Like that.
He's T. Higgins. Like, he's like that. He's a dude.
Those feet are special when you can do something like that. I think it's interesting, Bo, that you said, and I've never once thought that Deshaun Watson wasn't going to start for the Cleveland Browns this year opening day. And in fact, if, you know, barring health, I think he's their starter all year long. I've always believed that. I think it's interesting that you talk about the difference in arm talent between Deshaun and Shador, because Shador has pretty good arm talent. But it just goes to show you the difference in good and elite. And I don't think anybody's ever questioned that Deshaun Watson has elite arm talent.
Mm-hmm. No, it's Shador does. Both Dylan and Shador have plenty good arms.
Well, they're NFL quarterbacks.
Yes. This isn't like, I mean, I'm trying to think of somebody who, as my kids would say, would, you know, throw muffins, which is what they call anything soft. That's a muffin shot. I'm trying to think of an NFL quarterback that's like that. Maybe like Manning at the end after all the surgery.
When you didn't have a shoulder.
Or Breeze at the end, like when you don't have shoulders and you're trying to. It's nothing like that. In fact, Shador throws a stunningly beautiful deep ball, as you guys know. He can throw it to a spot, and a guy can run under it. It's beautiful. What Watson has, and I think the way you articulated that is the correct way, what Watson has is a zip. It's there. And the only pushback, the thing that I think would be so fascinating about this, you're never going to know, but like if Kevin Stefanski was brought back, what would this look like then? How would this all have played out if he were brought back? Because if you would have told me last summer, and ownership up there even reflected on this, on the, you know, Mr. Haslam's comments, a swing and a miss with Watson, like it felt like they were ready to be done with all of it. And then Todd Monken comes in, you get a fresh set of eyes, you get no prejudice, and you just get best man win on the field. And then the other thing that nobody could, probably the best thing that ever happened to Deshaun was sitting out all of last year and not rushing back and taking his time and making sure that he was 100% before he came back. And he's still a relatively young man, despite having not played a full season in what, 5 years? He's still just 30. Like, theoretically, who knows what happens with all of this? So, again, only time will tell. Denzel Boston is somebody who I want to get to this. I do want to play this by from Todd. He flashed in about 30 seconds to me when I was watching rookie minicamp. Like, he looks like a first round pick, stud number one receiver. Who knows? It's early. Here's Todd Monken on Boston.
That was awesome, wasn't it? Wasn't that cool? I mean, I know I'm an offensive head coach, but hell, you know, you get a draft pick and it's on one of the most talented guys in the league. So it's encouraging, right? That's what you want to see. You want to see your guys, especially some of your younger draft picks, make some of those plays.
You guys see why I like him so much?
Yeah, the clip's up at 971 BFS. the absolute steal, they got him at pick 39.
It is. You also see why I like Todd so much.
It's so easy with him.
Who cut the audio today?
I think it was Bodie.
Yeah, I think that's Bodie.
Compare that, Bodes.
Oh, Stefanski's just you got waterboarded with coach speak. Monken's just here it is.
There's a little urban to him. Ask me a direct question, you're going to get a direct answer.
Stefanski, you could just play last week's audio.
Doesn't change. Keep it in the room. And Kevin's a great guy. He's great. But for whatever reason, that was his approach with the media. That's not Todd's. Todd's approach to the media is you ask me a question, you're going to get an answer. And that's how you get, you know, some of that audio that you get. Aaron Rodgers makes a decision, and we go around the National Football League coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bo knows many people.
He talks to the interesting ones on this show.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, there will be no waiting around to know if he will play next year or not. Aaron Rodgers making it official yesterday in Pittsburgh. This is it. This is the list. Here's his answer.
Aaron, did you believe that this could be your last year? Do you need to think of that right now?
Yes.
As in your last year?
This is it. Yeah.
There you go.
Is that the real truth?
I think it is. Yes. I think it is. I think he wants the parade with it. Now their schedule, I looked at this yesterday, guys, their schedule, he's not returning to any, he's not going back to Green Bay. There's nothing like that. So, there won't be any kind of that type of retirement party, but I think that, you know, final regular season game, that type of stuff. I think he probably wants a little bit of that. He was asked also, about his decision to play another season. Here was his answer.
Yeah, there was some doubt for sure, but I had good conversations with Mike going back to when he was hired. And yeah, it's nice to come back. I mean, it felt different than last year because I knew some of the guys and some of the people that work here and stuff, so it felt good coming in.
Aaron, what was that decision-making process like for you? How did you eventually come to the decision to return?
I had a lot of conversations with Mike and Omar and for a while, And, you know, I just had a lot of conversations with my wife about it. And after the draft, came to the conclusion that I wanted to play. I wanted to come back.
People forget he sat his first 3 years in Green Bay. I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, for sure. In fact, I think, I'm pretty sure I have this right, he has the second most MVPs ever. Peyton Manning has 5. Aaron Rodgers has 4 MVPs. He has this. I'm pretty sure he has the second most MVPs ever.
Yep.
Is that still true? Yeah.
Yeah. Favre, Brady, Jim Brown have 3. Lamar, Mahomes, Kurt Warner 2.
Kurt Warner has the same amount of MVPs as Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Well, we got that wrong.
This is like the
SGA. We got that pretty wrong.
The SGA, Kobe, and Shaq conversation the other day.
We got that really wrong.
Oh, Johnny Unitas has 3. Sorry to the Baltimore Colts fans.
Johnny's got, so who's got 3? Who's
Brady,
in the 3 category?
Jim Brown, Brett Favre, Johnny Unitas.
Johnny Unitas, Brett Favre, Jim Brown. What is, how about the Packers had 7 MVP seasons out of quarterbacks in our lifetime?
Pretty good.
How about Brady only had 3? Did we get bum. That wrong too?
What a bum.
Probably.
So many of those were, I mean, Manning MVP seasons, and Brady would get the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Peyton Manning 5 is pretty crazy. Like, Peyton Manning is the greatest. He's the greatest regular season quarterback of all time, quite simply.
Yes.
How many? He may even have a crazy, stupefying amount of all pros. I bet his all pro number is nuts. Oh, yeah. He's a 10-time all pro. Peyton Manning is. 7-time first-team All-Pro, 3-time second-team All-Pro. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's far and away. It's not even close. Best regular season quarterback in NFL history. Not even particularly close. Does Rodgers... I think one of the things... Where do the Pittsburgh Steelers slot in here? This is everything that they've done... The last couple of years is almost anti-Steelers as I know them. And I'll explain. Kind of felt like 2 straight off seasons. They were held hostage by a player, in this instance, a quarterback who they did not draft and who was not in the prime of his career, but rather, you know, in the twilight of his career. 2 straight off seasons with that. Mike Tomlin finally decides to step down. After, you know, a lot of pressure there locally, he decides to step down after another 10-7 season, never had a losing record. He decides to step down. And unlike in the previous 2 times that the Steelers hired a coach, they didn't hire a young guy. They didn't hire somebody in their 30s the way they did with Cowher, the way they did with Tomlin, the way I'm sure they did with their, you know, the last 3 coaching hires. Chuck Knoll, I'm sure he was in his 30s and he coached there for 20-some years. So they hired... You know, you go and you hire Mike, and was that's a departure kind of who that they are, really. All of this is pretty un-Steelers. Their draft was kind of un-Steelers. They're on the phone with Mekhi Lemon, and then the Eagles swoop in and draft him ahead of them, and then they've got to pivot on the fly. We've got Steeler folks on staff here, a lot of Steeler fans in the audience. Concerned? About all of this?
Should be.
I would think.
Because the last 12 months have really just been we can win a bunch of games, low scoring, but not major games. And then the debacle with the draft where they're picking an offensive lineman who I don't know if he had many first round grades on him. And this season, they're maybe the third best, maybe third. I could see them finishing last in the AFC North.
They just never do it, which is why I always say buy or beware, but like... This doesn't feel like who they've been for my life the last couple years.
They should have just tore the whole thing. You dismiss Mike Tomlin, then you rebuild. But they're not interested in doing that. And so this, just patching holes with duct tape.
That's what it seems like.
Because that's what Rodgers is, a quarterback.
I'll believe it when I see it with the Steelers. I think they're the exact same as they are last year. I mean, they gave Rodgers actually a couple more weapons to play with this year. Than he had last year. I know a lot of people don't believe in Mike McCarthy, but I just think this team, and I understand the You kind of you have to have a quarterback in this league, and a lot of times the only way to do that is to tank to go get it.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Steelers are a team. They're still a team that can make the playoffs, and I still think that that matters in the NFL. Maybe they're in purgatory, but I feel like they're just one. They're just the quarterback away, quite frankly, of being a team that's competing for a Super Bowl.
They're kind of in an interesting. I don't know if I can get there with you. I think their roster is a few more holes baked, and I think that they're getting old in some spots that they need to have some reinforcements. And I think some of their moves are a little panicky, as evidenced by the mistake in the draft. I don't think their roster is as good as Cincinnati's. I don't think their roster is as good as Baltimore's. I don't know for sure. Well, give me another couple of weeks with the Browns receivers, but I think that's a more interesting roster to roster comparison. You're right to say that I'll believe it when I see it because we should have learned by now. There's tons of audio of me saying that that's it. Steelers are done. They should, and then they win 10 games and they find a way to do it and they patch it together. I mean, my God, they had a season of Justin Fields and Russell Wilson that somehow was a winning season. So like, this is just what they do is win. What I think is the interesting thing is, what is this what their fans want? What is success for Aaron Rodgers at 43 with this Steelers team? This is not a Super Bowl team. It's definitely not that. I would not have him as an AFC championship level team.
I'm confident saying they're not making the playoffs.
Well, I would feel like that too. It's just I've been burnt so many times by them. I'm not going to do that.
I don't know how you can do that with
so
that team.
I just can't because they always win somehow. They do. So you have to respect that. But like, is that what the folks over there want to see? Do they want to see be a wild card team, go 10-7, lose a playoff game, and that's a season? Like, is that success? What I've learned from the folks that I talked to, most of the Steeler fans I knew were plenty sick and tired of Mike Tomlin. I'd look at Mike Tomlin and be like, God, I'd kill to have that guy. That guy feels like he checks every box you'd want checked. But Steelers fans were like, done with him. I know Cole said, like, they're done with it. Because, like, to them, it's like, if they're not competing for Super Bowls, what's the point? Well, this is not a Super Bowl team. So, like, can you be one the way that they're going about it? Can you be a soft landing spot for the next Malik Willis? Like, is that their goal, to be in a spot where the next Malik Willis, Sam Darnold, who comes up, they're ready to pounce and paratroop that quarterback into the situation? Is that what they're trying to do? Trying to bide time until the right quarterback comes around? Rodgers had a pretty decent season last year, statistically. But if you watch the games, you guys, I know, both watched the Steelers-Browns game at the end of the year where they did everything in their power to make sure that he did not break T.J. Watt's record. Miles didn't. How quickly was the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands last year? Second and a half?
Maybe.
His average yards per throw last year was in the sixes, if memory serves. Yards per attempt was in the sixes. There was one time he led the league with 10.5 yards per attempt.
Bo, the last time the Steelers had a record that was under 500, they were 6-10 in 2013. They were 6-10 in 1999. They were 7-9 in 1991. And then they had a couple lean years in the 80s there. If I remember, those were like the Mark Malone to Bubby Brister. Yeah. Tommy Maddox. I know that was the early 90s.
He was more late because it was Neil O'Donnell early 90s. Then Maddox came in with Cordell Stewart, like late 90s.
I don't know. I don't know what Steelers fans would do if they had like a tanking year where they went 5-12 and were trying to get the first pick.
6-10 will keep you out of getting one of the top tier quarterbacks.
I don't know how they would react.
I don't either. They've never had to do it. It's hard to say. Maybe they'll have to do it this year. We'll see. But one more year at least for Aaron Rodgers. We'll get you three things on a Thursday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Amazon Business.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State,
yes, yes it is.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
What's the weather outside? Who cares? Bakers and shorts. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do we have on the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks which playoffs have been more exciting, NBA or NHL? And I guess that's really a preference thing on what do you like, the NHL or the NBA? 60% said the NHL playoffs have been more exciting than the NBA.
I think the conference finals, the NBA has been off the charts. We've played three games. They've all been, I've watched parts of or all of, all three of them. And every that West final is a game seven of the NBA finals every single time out. That level of play. And what we saw in game one with the Cavs and Knicks certainly wasn't the best game from a Cavaliers perspective, but damn sure was entertaining.
I think Reese made the best point on the Western Conference Finals in the NBA the other day. Is you went to overtime and Wemby had a game like that. Like, that doesn't bode well for the rest of the series, because Wemby's not going to have a game like that.
No.
Where he's just out of his mind every game. So that series kind of seems inevitable to me with Oklahoma City. And Wembanyama is going to have to play his best basketball every game for them to win.
I think that's fair. But they also, to be fair, San Antonio also is playing without De'Aaron Fox, who they anticipate getting back. And so he is an all-star level player for them. Just paratroop in there, and now all of a sudden some of those minutes are a little different. And so that's something to watch. Hopefully he comes back and they're able to be whole by the time we get to the weekend, because obviously I'm rooting for them. I can't stand Oklahoma City. All right, time for three things on a Thursday.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
So number one for me, for whatever reason, and I never really got a straight answer other than, quote, I hate school. Beamsy was just in a bad mood last night, the 12-year-old in a bad mood. So the blonde and Bootsy were at the Bruno Mars concert, and so it was up to NBC and I to, we put it upon ourselves, let's try to make him laugh. So I was trying to find things to make him laugh, and I was able to watch a little bit of Wedding Crashers, none of the parts that are dicey, but didn't quite get much out of him, a little bit of a smirk. Then I thought, you know what, I'm going to watch some SNL skits. I wonder if there's some SNL skits that'll make him laugh. So I pulled up the Will Ferrell, Jim Carrey swim one, which is a classic. I also pulled up like more cowbell. I pulled up like the Lovas one. Nothing got him. And then I queued up, I live in a van down by the river.
Undefeated, baby.
And he was now like trying to not laugh to spite me. So he's trying to not laugh to spite me. And I look over and he's shaking at Matt Foley. Here's you, here's Matt. Here's you, here's Matt. Me and my buddy, all of that stuff. And he is shaking. He is laughing so hard. He's trying to hold his face, trying to cover his face to not laugh. And I just thought that was probably the funniest single thing that's ever been put on television weekly for free. That Chris Farley would show up on Saturday Night Live every Saturday and just dominate. That led to us doing the one where he's on the Japanese game show where he's not speaking English, he can't speak Japanese, and he ends up in the final and they're cutting off fingers, all of that. There's another one with Sanka, which is incredible, with the coffee crystals. The one with Swayze's unbelievable. It just led us down a treasure trove of Farley that was pretty hard to beat.
I'm envisioning your kid like David Spade and Christina Applegate in that skit, just exactly trying not like to break the entire skit.
I live in a van down by the river.
Undefeated.
I mean, top five? If we're doing SNL single skit rankings or single skit Mount Rushmore, Chris Farley's got to be on there. Game two, tonight at Madison Square Garden, Cavs-Knicks, 8 o'clock on ESPN. More than 0 minutes from Jalen Tyson, please, is I think my first thing in regards to that. I got a lot more to say about it. We just don't have enough time.
So I teased my work dream, and I'll save that for next. I just saw this. Tim May reposted this in the break. Luke Akins just jumped 7,620 meters. And if you're that high, there's almost no oxygen at all. He did this without a parachute, no flying equipment, and what? He landed on a 30 by 30 meter net. So that's about 32 yards if you're comparing it to a football field. 32 by 32. He's the only person in history to jump from an airplane without any flight equipment and land without any equipment. I got to be honest, just watching this video, I got kind of queasy.
Oh, my God.
I got kind of queasy. These dudes have vapor trails coming off of their feet because he has cameramen that jumped with him, too, and they had parachutes. Now, he lands in the net pretty safely, but it's not in the middle. It's kind of towards a corner of the net. I don't know how people sat there and watched that in real time.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
All right, so it's at 971 BFS if you want to see this. It's bonkers.
This is crazy. By the way, it's good that I have this information because now NBC can't wrangle me out of another $1,000.
I'm looking out for
with
you,
some
buddy.
Sort of ridiculous bet about somebody jumping without a parachute 7,000 meters, nearly 8,000 meters up in the air. My God. Hard to follow that.
There's no do-over. If you miss.
How do you practice this, guys? How do you practice this?
You don't fully.
How do you know when you're on target? Like, when do you, at what point are you like, oh my God, now I'm not on target? He has guys beside me, pull your rips and try to get near me.
He has a camera on his head looking down. That net looks small as could be from that high.
I got another thing for you. Who are these idiots who are like the crowd cheering this on? Why would you want to watch this live?
That's what I said. I don't know. I got queasy just watching the video.
I mean, he hits, you're right, he hits in like a corner quadrant of a 30 by 30 meter, so that's 90 feet, 90 by 90, right, is what that is?
Yeah, I looked it up. It said 32 yards.
Wow. Good Lord. There's no following that. Like, what? One thing. That's three for all of us.
That's
watch this thing. That is absolutely nuts to do that. And of course, Tim May is somehow surfing and reposting it. Of course he is. It's exactly what he ought to be doing. What does Rothman Ice have coming up next? Who we got on?
They've got an athletic show coming up. Paul Daner Jr. from The Athletic at 12:30. Bruce Feldman to talk college football from The Athletic in the 2 o'clock hour.
Oh, that's very good. Feldman has some really good stuff on the Browns draft as well. Denzel Boston specifically. Some good stuff there. So you have that to look forward to, which is nice. We are back tomorrow. Reese, enjoy your day. We are back tomorrow. JP in for Reese. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight, Sash Man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.